I needed to find a text here real quick. But while as I mentioned before, we are talking about the same topic as they're talking about at Camp Kearsey all this weekend. But I know that Athol is kind of wrapping things up this morning there, and I am introducing and wrapping up here. All right, so we're going to get into that message. I just need to find one of my references real quick. Okay. So walking with God is a very broad topic. And there's lots of things we can talk about related to walking with God. First thing we need to know is the only way any of us can walk with God is if we've already put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we have put our trust in His merits, in what He accomplished on the cross for us, and we have been forgiven of our sins. We have received the Holy Spirit. That's called a new birth. You get a second chance in God. It's called a new birth. You're born again. You have the Spirit of God in you. And now, because we have the Spirit of God in us, we can walk with God. Now, before that, you couldn't walk with God. You were under the influence of Satan and his kingdom. And so it's important to understand where we are in the process. So you can have confidence that you can walk with God if you're born again and you have the Spirit of Christ in you. And so that's called faith. Faith and confidence are often interchangeable in the Scriptures. So we have confidence, or we have faith, that I can walk with God because we're born again, we have the Spirit in us, and now I can understand His Word, I can learn to hear His voice, and I can have a relationship with God, meaning I can walk with Him. So I wanted to start with a verse from Micah 6:8, where it is written, "He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" What does the Lord require of you? That's an interesting phrase, because then he gives three things: do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. Okay? Three, not four. Right? Walk humbly with God is something that the Lord requires of us. As born again believers in Jesus, He's not asking us to do it. He's not making a request. Okay? He's telling us to do it. He's telling us it's necessary in order for us to complete the plans and purposes He has for us as individuals, but also the plans and purposes He has for the church in Kansas City and globally. So it takes all of us walking with God in order for God's plans and purposes to reach the ends of the earth, let alone reach Kansas City, let alone the ends of the earth. And so this topic is very important, because each of us has a responsibility before the Lord to grow in walking with Him. As Micah 6:8 says, it's something that He requires. Now, I wanted to give an example. If I am a tour guide, and I'm not, but if I am a tour guide taking people up Mount Everest on a hike, now that's a pretty treacherous climb. And as a guide, I would say to those people who are going up on that climb with me, who are maybe not professionals like I am as a guide, and I tell them, when we're on the mountain, you have to listen to everything I tell you to do. Because if you don't, The mountain can take your life. The mountain can be a very dangerous place. So you have to listen to everything I tell you to do. So when the Word of God says that He requires something from us, the reason is He cares for us, and He doesn't want us to perish. He doesn't want us to die. He doesn't want us to be wounded. He doesn't want us to be hurt. So in His love for us, He requires things. So He requires us to walk with Him. Just as the guide wants to save the lives of the people he's taking to the top of Mount Everest, so God wants to save the lives of everybody by walking with Him, because His ways are good and true, and they keep us safe. He's a strong tower, the Bible says. So in Him we have safety. So it's important to understand that when we're talking about requirements, it's the heart of God behind the requirement that we're really looking at. The Bible speaks of there's the whole Bible's full of people who walked with faith. If you want to know some of those people, you go to Hebrews 11. It's a bunch of people talked about in that particular chapter. But I wanted to mention from Genesis 5:24, it is written that Enoch walked with God right from the beginning, and he was not, for God took him. So here we see Enoch, this guy named Enoch in the book of Genesis, he walked with God. It was emphasized in the Bible that he walked with him, and that was important to God. In fact, God liked Enoch so much that he just took him. It was like, I like you so much, I just want you to be with me. Whoop! Just pulled him up off the earth. However that took place, I don't know. But pretty amazing. Okay, but he walked with God. And then in Genesis 6:9, speaking of Noah, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Noah had a walk with God. So today, we kind of want to delve into what does it mean to walk with God. And like I said at the beginning, this is a very broad topic. And so we're not going to be able to cover everything in the Bible, but I do want to emphasize, related to the topic, I mean, but I do want to emphasize a few things as we go forward. So it's important to get the big picture. Often, if you ever looked at Paul's teachings, on the front end of most of his books that he wrote in the Bible, he gives the big picture. And as he gets towards the end of the books, he starts to give you some of the practical ways you can apply those things into your life. So he gives the big picture so you can understand what God is doing. And then he gives you more kind of intricate details of how to do it towards the end of the book. It's common in his writings, and it's common in the Bible that way. And so that's how we're going to approach this morning. I want to give you a big picture, because with the big picture, we can understand what it means a little bit better to walk with God. That just changed. That was weird. Okay, so the big picture of walking with God is agreement. I'm just going to say it. It's agreement with God's plans and His purposes in your life. So walking with God is simply this in your life. I determine to agree with God in His plans and in His purposes. I agree, I am determined to agree with God in His plans and in His purposes. Note that I didn't say in my plans and in my purposes. Okay? In His plans and in His purposes. In Amos 3:3, it is written, can two walk together unless they are in agreement? So it's what Amos is saying here is it's impossible. I see this in my own relationship with my wife. It's hard to work together well if we don't have areas of agreement. And that's true in any relationship, of course, and it's especially true in our relationship with God. If we're not in agreement with what he's saying and doing, then it's hard to walk with him. And we're going to get into a little bit more of that in a moment, but I wanted to talk about, I didn't put this, David, in the notes, so you don't have to find this, but it's from Exodus 33, where Moses is speaking to God. He wants God to come with them. God said, already told the Israelites, I'm not coming, you're on your own. And Moses is praying, and he basically says, if you have favor on me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. This is the broad picture of what it means to practically start working out, walking with God on a weekly basis. Teach me your ways. I need to know your ways, God. Thank you for giving them to us, called the Bible. Teach us your ways, okay, that I may know you. Knowing God is more than just knowing the Bible. Knowing God is knowing his heart behind the things he says, the truth of the things he says, his affections, his compassion, his mercy, who he is. That's to know God. So we can ask him to teach us his ways, but if we don't get to know him in a real personal, intimate way, where 5 years down the line I can say, I know you better. I know you better because I've experienced you in different areas of my life for the past 5 years, for example. Isn't it the same? I like using marriage as a word picture. So it's the same in marriage, isn't it? We get married, we think we know the person, but we know them a little bit. And it's the same when we enter in with a relationship with God. We know him, but we just know him a little. And now we have 80, 90, 100 years, by the grace of God, to get to know him better. So in marriage, it's the same. We get married, we know a little bit, but now we have to grow up in our knowledge of that person and say, oh, I didn't know that about you, or now I know that about you. And you begin to grow in your relationship together. You begin to walk together a little bit more, but you get to know each other. So we need to know God. So teach us your ways that we may know you and continue to find favor with you. So the reason I'm starting with this passage is because Jesus also said in another place, there are those who will say, Lord, Lord, okay, we did all these things with you. And at the end of those things, Jesus says to them, you didn't know me. Okay? Maybe they learned some of his ways, but they didn't know him. So it's very important to understand that in our walk with God, he has to teach us his ways through the scriptures. That's why pastors like me and Pastor Athel and other people as well, we say, hey, one of the best thing you can read is this. It's a letter from God telling you how he does things and what he's like. So we can learn his ways and we can know him better so that we can have favor with him because we begin to become more like him. Okay. Have you ever noticed in marriage that after people have been married for 20, 30 years, they're kind of alike in many ways? Anyone? Have you ever noticed that? Okay, Scott did. Thanks, Scott. One guy out here noticed that. I noticed that, okay? But they begin to become more like each other. So, that's that same metaphor for becoming more like Jesus. We're, he's conforming us into his image. So, I wanted to start with that because those are the three things that we're going after this morning in understanding. So I wanted to read also from Matthew 7, 24, 27. I'm going to read that. I don't know if it'll be up on the board or not. But here it says, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it didn't fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And so the reason I picked this scripture, it's at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, which is basically, for the lack of a better word maybe, is like the constitution of our Christian walk with God. And so it helps us to understand what God requires of us. And at the end of it, he says, if you heard everything I said and do it, your life, your house, is going to be on a solid rock. It doesn't mean you won't have troubles in life. It doesn't mean the waves won't come. It doesn't mean difficulties won't come. It does mean that you'll be able to stand in the midst of them. Then a little earlier in Matthew, Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray. And one of the phrases in there, in Matthew 6:10, when Jesus is teaching them, he says, pray this way. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I'm trying to paint the big picture here. For us to walk with God, we have to know where he's going. Because if we're not sure where the leader's going, it's hard to walk with him. So what is Jesus doing? He's saying, hey guys, pray this. This is rather important. He says, pray to the Father that his kingdom, God has a kingdom, that it would come to earth, that his will, everything that he wants for humanity, would be done on earth just as it is in heaven. This is his big plan. So everybody who wants to walk with God, every Christian has to line up with that plan. Father, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's so in the midst of life, you know, going to school, getting a job, being in a career for years, you know, whatever life looks like for each and every one of us, in all of that, we have a call as Christians in the midst of that to contend in our lifestyles for his kingdom coming, his will being done on earth as it is in heaven, meaning in my life as it is in heaven, through my life as it is in heaven, as much as we are able in the grace of God. But we continue after it. So the big picture is we have to go in that direction. So early in my walk, I had this idea that God was mainly there like a big genie and was going to bless my life. And when I first became a Christian, I remember going through this process with him until he helped me to see that I'm not calling him to walk with me in the sense that do as I'm doing, but he's calling me to walk with him to do what he's doing. So he's the one who says, Jason Dubwig, this is what I want you to do. Jason doesn't get to go to God and say, hey, I want to do this. What do you think? I mean, we can ask that, but in the sense he can say, nope, I don't want you to do that. I want you to do this, because he knows where each and every one of us need to be and at what time. So the point there is, in walking with God, we have to have the big picture. His kingdom coming, his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what God is up to. Jesus is going to come back bringing the kingdom of heaven to the earth. So that's where we're going. Then, in Romans, I wanted to read a verse or two for you related to what we just talked about. In Ephesians 1:9, talking about his kingdom coming, I'll read it all. In him, we have redemption through his blood, that's in Jesus, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will. So that's the key phrase. He's making known to us the mystery of his will. If you want to know what the will of the Father is, listen to the rest. According to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. So, if you want to know the plan and the will of God, he is in the process, through the church, with us, participating with him in the grace of God. He's bringing heaven and earth together. Okay? He's bringing the spiritual things together with the material things. He's bringing it all together into unity in Christ Jesus. And so that's the big picture that we all are called into to participate in. Now, what each of our roles are different. Each of our giftings, they're different. And they have a different place in the body. But we all called to this one big purpose of God. Secondly, in the big picture is, so the first one is kingdom, his will on earth as it is in heaven. The second one is a church conformed into the image of Christ. The body, that meaning all Christians on the earth. In the big picture, what is God after? His kingdom coming, his will being done on earth as it is in heaven, and you being conformed into his image. So in the however long you are a Christian on this earth, being conformed into his image is a priority for Jesus, because you are his inheritance. He gets you, and he wants blamelessness, purity, righteousness, and he's working those things in your life through the different seasons of your life as you go, as you live year in and year out. Let me read Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. That's to be conformed into the image of his Son. This is a priority for God in your life. So this is what he's doing. We need to line up with that, right? Also, in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, I'm going to skip a little, we all are being transformed into the same image, meaning into the glory of the Lord. Okay? We all are being transformed or conformed into the same image of Christ. So these two are big issues for the Lord. This is where he's going and where he's taking us in terms of our inner man. It's conforming, and that's demonstrated by what we do, how we live. And that's what we're going to get into now. So in the big picture, I have a few questions for you to consider. Is your life aim to see Jesus' kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven? Is that your number one priority? That's God's number one priority, his kingdom coming, his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. So to walk with God, his priority has to be our priority. Is your highest priority to be conformed into the image of Jesus as an individual? Is that what you're prioritizing in your life, to be more like Jesus from now until the day you die? Is that priority, or where is that on the list of things, your bucket list in the earth, right? Where are you on that? So for God, they're the two highest. And the third question is, if these are priorities of your life before the Lord, how do you walk it out in your life? So how do we walk out this big picture out in our life, seeking his kingdom coming, his will being done in our lives as it is, being conformed into his image? Well, in Colossians 3:17, it is written, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then again in Colossians 3, the same chapter, saying the same thing basically, but a little different. Colossians 3, 23, 24, it says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." So looking at Colossians 3:17 there, it says, "Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus." A few years ago, the Lord started working on me. It's about 3 years now, particularly through this verse in some areas of my life. And he coupled it with being more concerned about others' inheritances than my own. And so when he started doing that, I began to look at the various areas of my life and the people that were included in those areas of my life. And I began to ask God, how can I live in this every, because your word says do everything unto the Lord as you're doing it for his name. So that means it doesn't mean we put on a fake face about it, but it does mean, Lord, transform me in the areas of life that are hard for me to do it your way. And also help me in the areas to continue strongly in the areas that I'm already doing. For example, I just remember having an enjoyable time with the Lord, and I've had several since then, doing the dishes. Because I started quoting this verse to myself, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord. And I thought, wow, I'm actually doing this for Jesus. And when I thought that, I thought, I want to do a good job. I want to do it well. I want to do it excellently, because he's worthy of dishes being done well. Okay? And so if we apply that to every area of our life, okay? I know a firefighter, for example, in our church. He's called to be a firefighter for Jesus before anything else. There's a few firefighters in our... Whatever it is that we're doing as a career in our lives, that is to be done unto Jesus. And we're going to get into that a little bit more in a few minutes. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But whatever we do, it says here, everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then the second one was regarding work. Work heartily. So I think we read over these sometimes and we don't really think, what does it mean to work heartily unto the Lord in every area of my life? Okay, and you might say, oh, Lord, that's going to be exhausting. Okay, there are some challenges involved. There's sinful flesh involved that doesn't want to do it sometimes, right? Or many times, and ever. But then there's the Holy Spirit side that wants to obey the Lord. So we step in and we sacrifice in an area where we may not want to at first. So in walking with God, I shared these two verses because we have to understand walking with God is very broad and it entails every area of our life. But the Lord is so kind in it that he begins to highlight something to you as a father to a daughter or to a son, and he'll highlight something to you and say, I want you to do this for me. Not necessarily a project, but a lifestyle in some area of your life. Okay? So maybe it's, I want you to prefer your wife or prefer your husband. I want you to practice that regularly. Or I want you to work hard at your job when the boss isn't looking. Not only when he's looking, okay? So if that's an area of our lives that needs to be transformed into the image of Jesus, right? So he begins to highlight things to us. I shared with you a minute ago one that he highlighted to me. But he'll highlight things to you. And you get those antennas up and you go, oh. Then you find a passage in the Bible, or he'll usually show you, and you begin to pray that passage into your life, and you ask God to help you to do it. Prayer is essential for getting the power of the Holy Spirit activated into our lives so that we can walk with God. Impossible without it. You ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. But if you don't do those things, you're just stuck. You got to go to God in prayer. So, I talked about some examples of people in our church. So whether it's home life, whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Going to school, are you in college right now? Okay, what does doing college look like when you do it unto the Lord? When it's in relationship with a professor or different professors and in relationship with different students, what does that look like to do that unto the Lord? Okay, it begins with coming to the Lord and saying, help me to be a student that reflects who you are. How about doing errands, driving around town and doing errands? Okay, we can all be transformed in the area of driving because we have to deal with people, right? Okay, so, but doing errands in the area of errands in our life, tasks. Each of us get all kinds of tasks we have to do outside of even our normal jobs or going to school. We have various tasks we have to do. We need to run to the store. We need to go to the bank. What other things did I write here? We need to do our taxes. We need to go to the pharmacy. You know, whatever it is, the Lord says, go to the pharmacy. Okay? Whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord. So the call is this. I think I've overemphasized it, but the call is this. Whatever you do, be mindful about it. Try to, in your own mind, you begin to think, I want to go to the pharmacy today in mind to do it the Lord's way. If there's someone there I need to share the gospel with, great, I'll share the gospel. If I need to encourage a worker, I'll encourage a worker. If they tell me the prescription I ordered is not available, okay, I'm not going to yell at them. Okay? So I determine in my heart to live for Jesus in that very situation. Entertainment. Okay, doing the entertainment unto the name of the Lord. And entertainment, which is so common in America, some questions we can ask is, would I do this if Jesus was sitting with me? Would I watch this? Okay, that's a good question to ask. Does it build me up in my faith? Does it build anyone up in their faith by watching this or whatever entertainment it is? Okay, and I'm not saying that you can't have any entertainment in your life, but what I am saying is in your walk with God, you begin to talk with him about the entertainment. Okay, because there may be things in your life that he doesn't want you to do in entertainment that you are doing. But there may be some things that he wants you to do that you aren't doing right now in order to build you up in your faith. Okay, in relationships with people. I mean, we all have to be in relationships with people in our family, friends, coworkers, etc. So, Lord, how do I do that for you today? So we need to be in that place of constant prayer. When Paul said to be constantly praying, I believe this is part of that. To walk with God, we have to be constantly asking questions about our situations. Okay? I don't think any of us in here will do this perfectly, but the aim is to grow in our relationship with the Lord, recognizing his voice in the different areas, in these different areas of our lives as we do them day by day. Okay, I'm going to stop. So what I would like to do, Rich, I'm sorry, I didn't talk to you about this before. I was going to and I forgot. But I was going to ask if you could come up and play a little here at the end, because I'm going to ask people to pray. And while they're praying, it would be nice to have a little music in the background. So, I want us to do kind of like we did at the beginning of our time where we get together with a few people and try to do it. You know, it's easier, obviously, with people you know. But if you can, try to get with someone you don't know so that you can get to know them. We're all part of one family here. But I want us to pray together about this, asking God a few questions, asking him, Lord, is your kingdom coming, your will being done on earth as it in heaven, a priority in my life? Is being conformed into your image a priority in my life? Have I made those up on the top of the list? First, loving God by making what's important to him priority in my life. Ask the Lord. If you have anything on your heart where you don't believe that's true, confess it. Bring it out. Share that and be prayed for. But so together we can pray for each other as we do this. Also, ask him in areas of your life to conform you into the image of Jesus. And if you know an area of your life where he's already talking to you, make that pray for it today, but also make it a continuous conversation with the Lord to conform you in that area. So for me, I've been doing it for 3 years, and I've seen some of the fruit in my own life because I keep asking him the same question in the area that he emphasized in that one particular area of preferring others before myself, which he started in me 3 years ago. I mean, that was always been there, but he emphasized that to me 3 years ago. So if he's emphasizing something to you, pray that out. And because when you pray these things out, it'll touch someone else in the group who also maybe struggling in that area or maybe wanting to change in that area. So let's pray. So gather together, twos or threes, ask God to prioritize things in your life and ask him how you can conform to be in his image more. Let's do that for a couple of minutes.